Welcome to Genesis Metro this morning. Man, that was good stuff, was it not? Yes. Yes. Man, with everything. I was sharing with the first service how that song has kind of transcended many moments in Genesis Metro's history, in Honduras, in Nicaragua, in Mexico, and Genesis Metro in our retreats. Man, that song has been a staple of ours for many a moon, and I hope this morning that that was an encouraging song for you. It's really awesome to see, you know, the momentum of a worship service kind of gather steam as you go, and like the participation level grows, and the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And so the more that we lift up to him, the more he commits himself to that worship. And I just want to encourage you to always participate, because the more you put into it, I guarantee you, the more you're going to get out of it. We started a new series called Get Fit several weeks ago, and we talked about your diet, and we said you are what you eat. Yeah, you guys are doing good. We also, the first week, we talked about no pain, no gain. Yes. All right. So we said that there's a mentality, right? A mental toughness that you have to have in order to get healthy, in order to get committed to that. And then we talked about what you put into your body is going to directly affect your health. And we talked about putting God's word in our body and allowing it to produce in us. So today we're going to continue down this journey of figuring out how to get fit spiritually, how to get healthy and the spiritual mindset. And so my cliche for the day is, there is no I in team. All right, man, you guys are awesome. And so I want us to kind of explore this. I want you to think about the team that you have around you. All right, the team that you have around you. Would you say that you've surrounded yourself with a healthy team? Now right off the bat, my self-reliant people in here, you automatically hear that, you're like, well, I don't need a team. Well, I hope that I can dissuade you from that stubbornness that you have this morning. That when you think about God's plan, in and of itself, it is all predicated on team. That when Jesus came down to this earth, what did he do? When he started the church, he gathered a what? A team. Did he say, I'm going to do it on my own? No. He said, I need a team. So he called out people to follow him. They willfully chose. They said, I am going to hitch my wagon to Jesus Christ. I'm going to drop my nets. I'm going to follow after him, because he was worthy in their estimation of that following. So this morning I want you to think about your lifestyle. Are you an isolationist? Do you have a team around you? And more specifically, we're going to learn in a story today in Exodus chapter 17 that Moses ascended a mountain with a couple of his friends, Aaron, his brother, and this guy named Hur, and Joshua was sent down into the valley to fight. And what I want to draw out this morning is that there's a symbiotic relationship between the struggle above and the fight below. That what happens on the mountain directly and proportionately affects what happens in the valley. And I want you to consider in your own life, are you aware of this connection? Do you live your life with respect to the connection above having an impact on your fight below? Because if you don't live with respect to that connection, then you're going to find yourself getting beat up, and there's going to be more score marks in the loss category than there are in the win category. And really, it has to do with the team that you're choosing. And so this morning I'm gonna tell you how to put together your team, and then I'm gonna explain that connection, and I want you to explore it in your own life and evaluate where you stand. So if you're tempted this morning to say, man, this is a really good sermon for old so-and-so in here, I want you to know that you're the old so-and-so this morning, okay? You're the one that this sermon is for. And so let's get into the text, and I want you to just evaluate your life and ask yourself, do I have a team around me that are struggling above on the mountaintop for me? And then am I fighting this fight out in the valley with respect to that? And then next level is, I want you to think about, who are you climbing for? Who are you going up on top of the mountain for in life? And are you doing your job so that they can win in the valley? So something certainly for all of us this morning. In Exodus chapter 17, they're in the middle of their wilderness experience. It says, then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill, in my mind, mountain, and the staff of God will be in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the mountain, or went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But whenever his hands were lowered, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. Now you just put that one in your pocket for later on, because I bet most of us in here can think of a time where our hands were extended in life for a period of time that was beyond what we felt we could bear. And in those moments when we were weary, did we have the right team to steady our hands? But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and they placed it under him like a stool, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. That is so juicy this morning. I shouldn't even have to preach after reading that text, okay? But you know that I'm going to, okay? Because you're going to get your money's worth this morning. And so whenever we think about this concept of Moses going up the mountain, I just want to say from the beginning that you're not supposed to climb alone. That whenever you realize in life that you got to go up the mountain, don't climb alone. Listen, don't climb alone. I know some of you in here right now, you are climbers and you are alone on your climb. And the reality is, if you climb long enough on your own, I promise you, you're going to get yourself in a compromising position. A couple of years ago, we had a men's retreat and we had an excursion to Robber's Cave. If you haven't ever been there in Oklahoma, it's this place, it's Great Bluff, and there's all these places to climb, and there's trails for kids, and you know, every little person wants to just go find and explore and all this kind of stuff. Great place to do that. Unfortunately, well, you know, we took our kids out there, which are the men of Genesis Metro, and the pre-team that staged everything, what we decided to do was like hang all these talismans that were there for the team, and they had to collect them, and one for each guy on their team. So we started climbing up all these places, and it occurred to me that without a rope in some of these areas, this could get dangerous. Did that stop us? No, because we're Genesis Metro. And so I saw this one little overhang, and I thought, man, that's a good spot, right? So I like shimmied up like Spider-Man, and then I started like shimmying over. I remember it very vividly. And so now I was on a ledge, and I don't know how high I was up, but I was up where it was uncomfortable. And then I was going to climb up from there, and it was like a kind of inverted like that. And so it was at that moment that I got off that ledge, and I got about a couple of steps up, and then it was you know, I didn't really have it to go any further up. But what I didn't realize was now, when I looked down, because I was on the incline, I couldn't see below me. And I had this moment, and I fancy myself a bravado, macho type of guy. But in this moment, I was paralyzed. I literally like started like hanging on like someone was getting ready to shoot me, right? And I was like, and the guys were down below, and they were like, just put your foot down. Now, in reality, I was this far from the edge below, but I couldn't see it, right? And so I'm like feeling for it, and they're like, just put your foot. I was like, I can't put my foot down, all right? It doesn't help if you yell at me, okay? So I was in a very uncomfortable position because I was climbing by myself. And so I just want you to know in life that a lot of you can probably relate to this. You set off and you said, oh, I got this. This is going to be easy. And then the longer you climb, the higher you climb, the more you sin, and the more difficult it got. I promise you, you'll get yourself in a situation that you never thought you were going to be in, one that you thought that you could handle. Your pride said that you could handle it, but all of a sudden you're stuck. Maybe it's in fear. Maybe it's in uncertainty, whatever it may be. And here was Moses getting ready to climb this mountain, and he knew. He was smart enough as a leader. It's so important as a leader that you know who to pick as your personnel. Because if you're a bad picker of your personnel, it will cost you over and over again. Any of you that are leaders in here, you will readily recognize this. Is choosing people for your team logic and science, or more art and instinct? When you get the resume, there are some people that on paper, right, they look great. I mean, logic, science says they will be awesome. And then you hire them, or you become part of the team, whatever it may be, and you realize what? They're terrible. They're terrible. But sometimes your instinct will tell you this person looks like they're not qualified, but they have the right heart. You know, when Jesus was picking his disciples, did he pick based upon education? Did he pick based upon experience? No, he picked based upon heart. Man, if you don't have art and you don't have instinct in your leadership and your picking of your personnel on who's going to go with you up that mountain, I promise you that you are going to get in some places where you wished you would have had a little bit more discernment when it comes to the spiritual component of your life. Moses took the right people up the mountain with him. And I want you to see that there's no I in team, that you have to have the right team. God didn't intend for you to climb alone. Number one, for assistance. What does it say happened? As he was up there holding the rod of God in his hands, it says that his hands grew weary, right? In Ecclesiastes 4:10, it says, "Woe unto the person who falls and has no one to help them up. Woe unto the person who grows weary and has no one to steady their hands." I want to ask you this morning, have you surrounded yourself with the right team, in the right places? Is there a spiritual component of your life that's connected to the physical battle that you're fighting? Because you need help. Let's just be honest. I'm going to tell you, if you want to know, Genesis Metro 12 years ago was two families. And now we sit here today with some 900 people regularly attending our church. It only happened because people were willing to be teammates. They were willing to hold people up on top of the mountain so that others could fight in the valley below. The people on the mountain are not more important than the people in the valley. It takes people at every position willing to do their part in order for us to succeed. It's the same thing in your marriage. It's the same thing in your career. I mean, you have to have the right team to assist you when you grow weary. Not only do you need assistance, you also need accountability. You tell me this. If you decide to work out on your own and you have no accountability, how good are you at that? How good are you at just like getting up every morning and you just press it to the max on your own? I guarantee you, you need accountability in order to get the most out of your body. If for no other reason, if you've ever lifted, you will get to the point that you cannot lift it anymore. And if you want to press your muscles to their max, you have to have someone who's willing to assist you in that next lift. I thought about many people in life. They walk in here every week. And they have no accountability. And that's really the difference between winning and losing. Or if you lose, at least being able to evaluate the loss. Like, if you don't ever invite another perspective, another opinion into your life, why do you think you keep repeating the same struggle in your marriage? Why do you think you keep repeating the same struggle in your parenting? Why do you think it's the same? You can change jobs, change complete careers. And why is it that you run into the same argument with people at the next place? Could it be that you're not inviting other people to look and put another set of eyes to the equation that you're going through? I mean, we all need accountability if we're going to be healthy in our approach to life. And then lastly, I want to kind of think about for the making of moments. Why do we need Why do we need a team around us? Because it's kind of like if you hit a hole in one and no one's there to see it, right? If you got a check in the mail from someone, some crazy aunt that you didn't even know about, and they left you $1 million, would be the first thing you do would be like to go into your room and just sit down on the bed and just think, man, this is a good day. This is a good day. It's a good day. What would you do? No, when your children are born, when your grandchildren are born, what do? You call everybody, you get it out on Facebook, and you plaster it. You're annoying with your moment, right? You want everybody to know about your moment. And here is Moses taking Aaron and her, if for no other reason, for them to have the experience of making this memory. And then when you think about the memory that was actually made, let that blow your mind, right? Because they're up there and they see the battle is being waged, and as Moses lifts his hands, they're winning. And as his hands grow weary, they're losing. And then to see how it all transpires, and then at the end of the day, as the sun sets, as the dust settles, as the enemy is defeated, and Joshua is standing victorious on the battlefield, how awesome do you think it was to be up on that mountainside knowing that you participated? You participated in the struggle above so that they could have the victory in the valley below. Don't you know that they were high-fiving, they were shouting, maybe they were singing with everything? I don't know, but I guarantee you that was a memory that they would never forget. I just want to encourage you this morning to think about the team that you have around you. Are you an isolationist? Do you think that life was meant to be lived alone? Do you have your wife and your family, and that's all that you need? Are you being selfish with your life? If Jesus knew that he needed a team, I just wonder, are you smarter than Jesus? Are you stronger than Jesus? In order to accomplish God's will for your life, you have to be willing to share the life that he's given you. You have to be willing to share the love that he's imparted to you. I mean, you have strength in Christ that is meant to be distributed amongst the church body. That's why he said, bear one another's burdens. Think about that this morning. Are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life when it comes to being a part of the team? Because I can tell you, whenever we have these victories at Genesis Metro, last week we baptized like 25 people. That was exciting. That was awesome. And man, I looked around, I'm seeing all these families, right? These people go to life group together, people that serve in ministries together, and they're shaking each other, hugging. There's some crying going on. And I think, wow, it's the collective, right? It's the collective. Collectively, we are stronger than we are as the sum total of our individuality. So this morning, understand, Jesus refers to the church. Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ. It is a living organism. And we need every part to function. If our kidneys aren't working very well, we are not successful. If our heart has a lot of plaque in it, we are not going to be a healthy body. If our brain decides that it's not going to turn on, it's not going to go well for us. And so you all have a part to play. I just encourage you, for the sake of those that are walking in here this morning, that are in the fight of their life, how important is it for you to ascend the mountaintop so that they can be successful? I thought about the type of people that you want to have around you. This story gives us three instances of the type of person you want to be, the type of teammate that you want to be. And you can make the practical application to your family, to your faith. You can make it to your career, whatever you want to make it to. But notice in this story that his compatriots, Aaron and Hur, they were watching to see if he was growing weary. They were concerned about the status of his strength. You see that in the story? It says that they noticed that his hands were growing weary. I just wonder, do you have people around you that are watching to see whether or not you're growing weary, that are concerned about the status of your strength? Because if your own spouse isn't watching to see when you're growing weary. Do you see how that might lead to some problems? Does everybody readily, can we raise our hand? Does everybody see that, like, because if you see them, their power meter is like slowly going down, and then you're just like, oh, well, suck it up. You know, we'll go on. I mean, that might have been a man's way of sometimes. And I see some women also, you know, like, oh, just suck it up. And like, they had a bad day at work. Well, I had a bad day too. Let's see who can have the worst day. I mean, that is not the way that we approach compassion, and that's not the way that we approach health. Whenever you see someone beginning to grow weary, you got to know when they need a break. You got to know when they need some encouragement. And so this morning, Aaron and her were watching. They were concerned about whether or not he was growing weary. Not only that, after they noticed that he was growing weary, it says that they moved and they acted without being asked. Did you notice that? Like, you didn't see Moses like, hey guys, I'm getting tired over here. Can't you see what's going on? No, they not only acted without being asked, they had a perspective, a wherewithal of what was going on. If you have teammates that lack awareness, you're in trouble. I mean, they looked down into the valley and they saw the Israelites being pushed back whenever his hands would lower. And then when he had the strength to raise his hands, he saw that the Israelites pushed forward, and they noticed that there was a connection, right? And they had the wherewithal to say, we must act. And so they grabbed a rock and they placed it under him so that he could sit more comfortably. And then lastly, it says that they were willing to bear his burden. They were willing to hold up the hands of Moses. Now let me ask you a simple question, a very simple question. Do you think the rod was the weight? Was it the rod was so heavy that Moses couldn't bear it? Or was the rod the weight of the people? Was the rod the weight of the fight? And as he began to hold that up, he's not holding up just the weight of a rod. He's holding up the weight of the battle, the weight of the lives that were in the balance. How heavy is that burden? And did God intend for any one man to bear that burden alone? No, that weight is too heavy for even Moses, the spiritual giant. That weight was too heavy for him to bear. And some of you are trying to bear it alone. You don't have the team around you, not because they're not available, but because of your pride. This morning you're holding that weight and your hands are growing weary, and as they begin to sink, you're beginning to lose. And if you're not willing to surround yourself with the right teammates who are willing to act before they're asked, who are willing to bear your burdens, then you're in trouble. Your family's in trouble. Your finances are in trouble. Your spiritual life is in trouble. Man, if you want to be valuable in your marriage, if you want to be valuable in the church, if you want to be valuable at work, if you want to be valuable as the leader of a company, act before someone asks. When you see the need, it is license to act. When you see someone stranded on the side of the road and you have the means to help them, and you say, well, they didn't ask me. You see a marriage that is drowning, and they're some of your best friends, and you say, well, you know, I feel like we should just, you know, interject, but, you know, they might be offended. They're going to be divorced, okay? Could you be more? It blows my mind. Like somebody who's lost and dying and going to hell, and someone says, I don't want to share the gospel with them because they, you know, they might be offended. The other side is way worse. Would you not agree? Would them being separated from God for all of eternity be worse than your little ego that might get damaged as a result of stepping out of your comfort zone? You've got to consider the bigger picture and be willing to step out. And here is Moses and Aaron and Hur. They're up there on the mountain. Moses has selected the right team with the right mentality, men who are willing to hold up his hands. I want to be honest with you. If you're not willing to hold up my hands, then don't bother climbing up the mountain with me. If you have surrounded yourself with people who aren't willing to hold up your hands,
in your moment of need, in your moment of need, when the weight becomes something that is unable to be borne, and you become weary and your hands begin to fade, I hope you've surrounded yourself with people who care enough about you that they're willing to hold up your hands so that you can win. Lastly, I want you to see, and this is the meat of the message, that there's a clarity between the connectedness of the struggle above and the fight below. Man, and I thought about the person who is unaware of this connection. Man, it blew my mind as I thought about, there's people that walk in Genesis Metro every week and they are fighting in the valley, right? I mean, they're giving it all they got. Every husband, every wife in here, you are fighting every week to provide for your family. You're fighting to keep your sanity when you're raising children, right? I mean, you got to fight for that, because you just lose that battle and just go crazy, right? And so you're fighting to try to keep your income exceeding your outcome, right? And so here are all these things that you're fighting for, and sometimes you begin to feel it to slip away, and you feel your hands beginning to grow weary, and in your mind, if you don't understand this connection, I pity the person who doesn't know about this, because what they think is their answer, their solution to all their problems is the same. They think, I need to fight harder. I just need to fight harder. I need to work hard. I need to work longer. And if I just fought harder, if I worked longer, then I'd be able to overcome. Man, if you don't understand the connection between the spiritual and the physical, you will waste your life fighting to gain ground that is only able to be obtained by embracing the connection between the spiritual and the physical. So the question is, who's on top of your mountain? Who's up there interceding for you on behalf of God? Who has their hands raised toward heaven and has put the right team around them to steady their hands when they begin to grow weary, so that you can go out there and win in the valley? You see, if you're living your life just in the fight in the valley with no one struggling for you above, it's going to be very difficult for you to ever overcome. Do you notice that it says that at the end of the day, when the sun was beginning to set, that Joshua overwhelmed his enemy? You see, because Moses overcame on the mountain, Joshua was able to overwhelm in the valley. This morning, it is important for every leader at Genesis Metro, for every serving member of Genesis Metro, to realize, and I'm telling you, I realize this as a preacher of the Word of God, how important it is for us as the spiritual leadership, that it never is lost on us, that every week that you came through those doors today, you came out from the valley and you were in a fight this week. And when you leave here this afternoon, you're going back out into the valley and you're going to fight some more next week. And every week it goes like this. And if we aren't willing to climb the mountain and to raise our hands before God, to lift the burden of the battle of the people before our Heavenly Father, and if we don't pick the right teammates to steady our hands as they begin to grow weary, then lives are literally in the balance. The message that you needed to hear today, we have to fight for that message. We have to intercede for the people. And I'm telling you at Genesis Metro that we are willing to lose sleep. We are willing to lose comfort. We are willing to go without eating, whatever it takes, so that we might have the message that your family needs to endure another week in the valley. We want your victory. And I promise you, as the pastor of Genesis Metro, that I will always climb the mountain so that we might hear from God every Sunday morning. Now, next to that, thank you. Next to that. Okay, let's finish it up, wrap it up, put a little bow on it, okay? I want to ask you, who are you climbing for? Who are you climbing for? You see, I realize the burden that God has placed on my shoulders, Genesis Metro. I get that. Okay, cool. We already covered that. But here's the thing. Every father in here, you're the priest of your house. I want to ask you, Are you even aware that you're supposed to climb up that mountain and put your hands out before God and surround yourself with other men that are going to hold up your hands as they begin to grow weary? And is your family being pushed back in the valley because you're not doing your job of climbing up the mountain? Who are you climbing for? Who are you climbing for this morning? I hope God would place it on your heart that maybe you need to be more aware of the connection between the struggle above and the fight below. And just fighting harder below isn't going to get the victory. At some point, you got to go up the mountain and raise your hands before God and surround yourself with some people that are going to lift up your hands as they begin to grow weary. And then what you'll see is the tide begin to turn. Man, I got to tell you, every week we hear stories of the tide that has began to turn. Hearts that have grown cold in relationships begin to warm and love is renewed. Hearts that have been broken and dashed by past experiences in churches, that hope is being restored. And the spiritual awakening occurring, realizing that life is not just the battle in the valley, but it's the climb, man. It's the climb. I promise you, if you ever start climbing for those around you and you see your life used in an incredible way, you see them start to overwhelm because of your ability to overcome on the mountain, man, that is the abundant life. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to sing a song called I Surrender. And I hope that you'd present your life to God and say, God, I'm willing to climb so that other people can win. I'm willing to lift my hands and overcome so that they can overwhelm in the valley. People's lives are in the balance, and you have a part to play. Your life is not insignificant. Your strength is not just for you. Your love is not just for you. Your money is not just for you. God has given it to you to get it through you. And if you consume it for yourself, you will have wasted the life that God has given you. Oh, this morning, for those that are hurting in here this morning, those that are in the battle for their lives, would you guys climb this mountain with me this morning? Would you guys ascend this mountain this morning and lift your hands before God and say, God, give them the victory. God, give them the strength. God, give them another day, another week to get it right, to have their eyes awakened, to have their ears open. God, that we all might knock and see it open, that we might ask and see it answered this morning. Would you guys ascend?